ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Okay. Brahma goes on to speak about how, on page 93, after disillusion, the creation again unfolds. The first Purusha supervises the appearance of ahamkara, or false ego, a characteristic of the ignorance of the fallen jivas. Nimisha, in 25th purport, Srila Prabhupada remarks about the false ego. This means that the false ego, in the sum total form of mahat-tattva, is generated from the marginal potency of the Lord. And due to this false ego of lording it over the material creation, ingredients are generated for the false enjoyment of the living being. The living being is practically the dominating factor over the material elements as the enjoyer, though the background is the Supreme Lord. Right. Yeah, so as pointed out yesterday, is that means when the living entities come into the material energy, when they're injected into the material energy through the Mahavishnu's glands, then they come in. This is the first stage of the false ego. Right? This is the Vasudeva, where they are thinking that I am the controller and enjoyer. Right? So specifically, they don't have any particular, how you say, in that consciousness, it's not that it's focused, that I'm the enjoyer of, you know, this place or this thing or this person or like this, but it's just the generic desire to control and enjoy. You know, what we would, you know, like in the Western theology, they would call the primordial sin, right? Is that this is where it is. One wants to actually be God. One wants to be the controller and enjoyer. So then it says from this, because the false ego comes in, is then that Shambhu comes along with it. Right? But the manifestation of this will be Vasudeva. It's very important to hear, to understand, is that as before, as we were saying, like within Sambandha, you have the elements of Sambandha Abhideya Prayojana. Within Abhideya Sambandha Abhideya Prayojana, you have the same within all of them. You know, it's just like, let us say you're trying to arrange the meeting of Radha and Krishna. Right, they're so they come to the point of their attraction towards each other. Right, so this would be the sambandha. The abhideya would be the pastime. The prayojana would be that feeling of that affection between them. Right, so now you have to make arrangements for that. Right, you have to prepare a place where they're going to meet, and you're going to have to prepare that they can come together, work out the schedule, right? So that's preliminary before you can even start. So that's the sambandha of the sambandha. Right? Then the abhideya of the sambandha is they're getting there, right? You're bringing Radha, you're bringing Krishna, you're making sure they get there. Then, prayojana, they actually meet, and that attraction that they have for each other is experienced. Does that make sense? Right? Now that they've had that attraction, now they're already now in the pastime, and now they're going from there to where they're going to have the rasa dance, right? So arrangements are there, and all these different things are being made. But now relationship has been established, right? The other one was establishing the relationship, right? Getting them together. Now they're already together. Now they go in the rasa dance. Now after that, there's some conclusion, right? You don't just suddenly stop the music, and everyone stops, and everyone, you know, like that disappears. Right? There's a winding down of it. There'll be the talking, the laughing, the joking. All these different things will be there. Right? And so then you get that. Does that make sense? So in anything, there's always the preliminaries, the actual activity, and then the conclusion of that. Right? So you're going to always get these things. So then in here is, even though in the material world, means Sankarshan is one aspect, right? I mean, or let's say Shambhu is one aspect. In other words, you have Brahma, Vishnu, Shiva, or Hiranyagarbha, Vishnu, and and Sadashiva. These are all mentalities of the creator, maintainer, and destroyer, right? Of the of God's consciousness as the Purusha avatar. Does that make sense? So now, in that, when he enters the material world, means, or enters the how do you say, the Hiranyagarbha, then he enters it with Shambhu. So that means the element of the ignorance or destruction. Does that make sense? So the overall flavor that within that then again will be the expansion of Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva. But the flavor is going to be that of Sadashiva. Does that make sense? Of ignorance. Right? Because the living entities are ignorant of their actual relationship with Krishna. Does that make some sense? Like that. So it's going to have that flavor. So even though he's been impregnated in there with the jivas, because the false ego comes in time, which is the destroyer, so you have the element of destruction there also. But also creation, maintenance. But that element is there. So you have the jivas in ignorance, you know, coming in with the false ego of Sadashiv, you know, that's carried by that. And with time, which destroys, right? We see that there's that general flavor. But it's generic. So even though this platform of consciousness in the Chaturvyuha, when we discuss it, is Vasudev, right, which is Abhideya, right? But the overall flavor will be that of Sankarshan, right? It'll have that element of ignorance there. Does that make sense? You know, does that make sense? Within the bigger category of Sankarshan, then we're going to have Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva. Right? Or you're going to have Sankarshan, Prajumna, Anivana, and Vasudev. But it's going to be within that flavor. Does that make sense? Yes? No? You know, it's just like, okay, let us say you take the same man and you put him in his house. How he's going to, it's the same person, how he's going to dress and act and interact is going to have one flavor. You take him and take him down to the office, same man, different flavor. So he's still going to, let's say he's a pleasant, funny person. He's still going to be pleasant and funny, but it's going to be affected by being at the office. Well, when he's at home with the family, that pleasantness and humor will have a different mood. And let's say he's out with the boys, you know, his own friends, it'll have a completely different mood again. But it'll be the same personality, but manifest the different features. Does that make sense? So here means God's in the point of the material existence, which is based on ignorance. So therefore, all the elements will carry that flavor. Not that he carries ignorance, but it'll carry the element of Sankarshan, right? Establishing religious principles and all that in the material world. Does that make sense? And the living entities, they're in ignorance. Right? Though within that, their ignorance, there'll be someone, the Abhideya and Prayojana. But they're in total ignorance. And let's say, like, you have a cow. Cow's body is in the mode of goodness, but the consciousness of the living entity in that body is in the mode of ignorance. That's why they're an animal. Right? If they were in the mode of goodness, they'd be in the body of a Brahmin. Right? Does that make sense? So you have these overlapping things. You have one arena, and then within that you have something. You know, and then let us say, okay, let us say within the court. So now you've taken, his mood is going to, the high court judge's mood's going to be flavored by being in the court. But now when he's sitting at the bench, it's going to be one flavor. Right? When he's in the back room with other judges and all that, it'll be a different flavor. And when he's just, you know, coming in and out of the building and moving in the hallways that other people can bump into him and talk to him, it'll be another flavor. But it'll all be in the overall flavor of being a judge, which is just one aspect, manifestation of his personality between being there or being at the home. Or does that make sense? So you have, that's so, that would be what's going on. So therefore it's due to false ego of lording it over. So that's what comes in. That's what the living entity wants to do. So Sankarshan comes in as Sadashiv to affect that. Right? But that consciousness in the false ego is Vasudev, because it's with that consciousness that I'm the controller and enjoyer that you make all your other arrangements, right? Your Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana is all going to be based on that, that I'm the controller and enjoyer. So all your activities are going to be based on that, Right? So that unmanifest consciousness of false ego is going to be what's going to create the manifest consciousness. That's why then he says, due to this false ego of lording it over the material creation, ingredients are generated for the false enjoyment of the living being. Right? So because of the subtle, therefore the gross is generated. Does that make sense? Like in Gita, then Krishna points out that the person has a particular mentality. You know, so because of the mind, then all the senses group around that. For that mentality, there's a certain nose, eye, ear, mouth, tongue, skin that fits perfectly with that mentality. So that generates the gross body. But it comes from the subtle. Does that make sense? You know, you can see that someone, even in what body they have, just depending upon their mood, their whole appearance is different. Right? Even though, let's say, they're not, let's say, a very attractive looking person, but if they're very sincerely happy and joyous, they look attractive. Right? And then when they're, you know, having a bad day, then they really look bad. Right? You know, or you take someone who's very attractive physically, but if they're having a bad day, they're not attractive. You understand? So even it still has that effect, the subtle and the gross. Does that make some sense? So we're bringing out is that, so that element there, that is what then the other thing, Prajumna, Aniruddha, and Vasudev are based on. Prajumna, Aniruddha, and Sankarshan are based on. Because Vasudev is the original. Right? From him expands Sankarshan, expands Prajumna, expands Aniruddha. Right, so because Vasudeva is there, the pastimes are there. Therefore, then the situation in which the pastimes would be performed, or the mentality, everything like that, then the activity itself, the pastime itself, and what is gained from that, you know, the Sambandha Abhideya Prayojana will expand. Because Vasudeva includes all three. Because the pastime means you're engaging the situation and getting a result. It's all happening simultaneously, right? So you have the persons that are there, so, and the situation, that's the sambandha. But that's there when the pastime goes on, right? And a result of that pastime is coming simultaneously. So they're getting the experience of the activity. Does that make sense? So Vasudev spans all three. All the qualities and the other three are all there in Vasudev. Right? But at the same time, as you split them up, so in other words, you know that scientifically, this is the situation, this is the activity, and this is the result, right? Just like you can say, okay, here's the subject and object, that's the sambandha, here is the verb, that's the abhideya, and here's the dative, here's the prayojana. Right? Does that make sense? And if you want, you can also add into it the cause of that, which would be the sambandha, or let's say the prajumna aspect, the attraction within the sambandha. And you're going to have a place, the locative. Right? So the ablative and locative will all be part of sambandha. Right? The verb is the abhideya. Right? And there may be instruments also assisting that verb, which will also be in the sambandha. Right? So you have two persons involved, the persons assisting it, the place, the cause of that, then that will all be your sambandha. Right? Then the verb will be your abhideya, and the dative will be your prayojana, your result. Does that make some sense? So the whole idea is that it's all based on activity, because all nouns come from the verb. Right? It means the noun is the thing that does the activity. Right? Isn't it? So the verb is first. So therefore the verb actually includes all that. You say running, that means there has to be somebody, you know, that's there with feet, and there has to be something he's running on. He's going to be, you know, he'll have shoes, he'll be going somewhere, he'll be coming from somewhere, there'll be some reason behind it, there'll be some result from the running. Does that make sense? So just by saying running, it means all those other things. So Vasudev means all the other elements are going to be there. Does that make some sense? So we're going through this just so it's clear that even though there is the element of it, means it is the false ego, but it being the original, right? means you can easily wind up, okay, I'm not this body, right? So that gets rid of the gross identity, and it gets rid of the, you know, the things of that identity, okay? Then, okay, my senses, I'm not these senses, right? So then that, and that intelligence and the senses then also get negated, or I'm not the mind, so you can negate that. But then you're still then, even you remove that, you're still stuck with, am I still identifying as a controller and enjoyer? If I am, then another false ego and intelligence and mind and senses and body will be manifest. Is that okay? Yeah? Yeah, so Zen pointing out here is, oh, okay.
I just wanted, and this is off the topic.
Oh.
I just wanted to say that yesterday, might have noticed I didn't contribute much to the class because just before, and again this morning, I taking acupuncture treatment for arthritis. I had a heavy arthritis attack this weekend. So today it's good. It's very powerful what it spaces me on. But I'll try to contribute more this time.
Okay.
Yesterday was, I was sitting here and my subtle body was there. The two weren't working very well together.
At least they were close by.
Yeah. Anyway.
Okay, yeah.
Sorry, Maharaj, you said that Vasudev covers all three. So does that mean Prajumna is in the middle? Does that mean Prajumna also is involved in activity?
Prajumna, oh, okay, so Sankarjan, Prajumna, Aniruddha, Vasudev has all three, means because the intelligence, see, that's the one thing is there, is Sankarshan is very obvious where he belongs, right? Because it's the field and the rules of the field. That's very clear. Like when Krishna says, yadahi yadahi dharmasya glani or bhavati, that's Sankarshan, right? So then, and Aniruddha is, that is the result, the goal, the ideal, the, you know, what is being strived for, what is the experience, although that kind means the, how you say, the acknowledging of the experience, right? Because acknowledge means the activity has to stop. So then, so that's very clear. Vasudev, you're performing the pastime, basically is very clear. Prajumna then is a little elusive, right? Because he's Cupid. So he's actually technically part of Sambandha, because that's the active principle of Sambandha, right? You have a field, but unless there's a desire to activate that field to get a result, it doesn't happen, right? You know, you can plunk yourself, let's say you're completely stuffed. You know, you don't want to look at another bit of food, and I take you and I go, hey, come, and I take you into a room where somehow now we just snitched all the Mahaprasad. You know, it's kind of like, who cares? You know? I mean, you're there, your hands are there, your mouth is there, Prasad is there, but there's no desire, so nothing happens. Right? So the fear will only be activated if there's interest. But at the same time as we have this, here's where the overlap is. In it means existence. So Sankarshan is existence. That's obvious. Prayojana means your the happiness gained from it, right? The Haladini. Samvit is activity and knowledge, right? So in other words, the activity being performed in knowledge is chit potency. So that's intelligence. But Prajumna is also intelligence. So it appears as an overlap. But one is the use of intelligence while you're performing the activity. The other is intellectually looking at it and deciding that this is would be interesting. You understand? So one is the active use of intelligence in connection with the senses, you know, in the past, and the other is connecting the intelligence to the senses. You know, that, hey, I could do that and I could get this enjoyment and I could... It's very subtle. But if that one is not there, the action itself doesn't happen. So in that way, you could, if you're saying what we were saying before, Vasudeva is above it all, Prajumna would appear to go into the Abhideya. He's actually more the cause for it rather than it itself. Right? Does that make sense? Because he's only functioning with two qualities. Vasudeva is all six. So Sankarshan is two, Prajumna too, Aniruddha too, but Vasudeva is all six. Because to perform the pastimes, you need the qualities of all those three. Does that make sense?
Yeah, just this is called Kalyana Gunas. So, if you start with Sankarshan, then there's Jnana and Bala. And this Jnana is Pragya. This is the knowledge that's actually above the assembly of the material elements, because Mahavishnu is sleeping in, but not sleeping in ignorance, in yoga maya. So great sages, through meditation, they achieve the same pragya, which means that they go beyond the assembly of the material nature. They even go beyond the reach of the mind, you know, the mind's contact with the sense objects. So they're aloof from the gross sense objects, and they're even aloof from the subtle movements of the mind. They're looking down upon that from above. You see, this is the yogic trance, you know, actual samadhi achieved by that Ashtanga yoga. And this is identified with Lord Shiva generally, and Sankarshan is, Prabhupada said, is non-different from Sadashiva. And then the other thing, the other Kalyana Guna is Bala. You have to have achieved spiritual strength in order to maintain that aloofness, because Sankarshan, he's the Lord. He's also addressed as Jiva, Chaitanya Charitamrita. There's a purport. That's a name of Sankarshan, Jiva, but it means a total Jiva. All the Jivas are within him. So he's also known as Jiva. And Prabhupada points out that Shankaracharya, in his commentary, tries to make Sankarshan a Jiva on that strength, you know, that he's like the archetypical Jiva. But actually, he's transcendental. But the other jivas are not; they're very, very tiny. So they have to be endowed with that quality of bala, strength acquired by yoga, and then they can maintain themselves. And it's a very, very difficult. Also, Ramanujacharya talks about this platform. It's not Turiya. Turiya is the stage of Vasudeva. He calls it Yogi Pratyaksha, Yoga Pratyaksha. It's the Pratyaksha, the sense perception of the yogis. They're perceiving, but they're not involved. That's a yogi, you see. He's able to perceive, like, the whole cosmic manifestation. This is also the secret behind the Soma Yajna. The famous Soma Yajna is that someone who could was qualified to ingest the Soma would enlighten all the nadis, all the subtle nerves, with the light of the sun and or the moon, and be able to perceive the universal form. You see, that's why it's called the divine hallucinogen. Prabhupada actually called it an intoxicant. This is what the hippies were trying for, you know, they're taking LSD, trying to see, you know, they talk about seeing God or, you know, seeing the cosmos. But actually, Soma Rasa actually does that, because it attunes the nadis. So either the sunlight, Soma means the moon, so that's the night blooming Soma, and then there's the day blooming Soma, so either the moon or the sun, but illuminates the whole universe. So this was like a shortcut to getting darshan of the universal form. So it just means darshan, pratyaksha. And because you're so above it, so it's like, you know, there's this sense of awe and reverence is developed, and then the whole idea is hopefully from there, just like we've already read in earlier in the second canto, that's the usefulness of achieving the perception of the universal form, that hopefully then one will become a devotee. One will be impressed by this opulence of the Lord. And then, and we were talking prelude there yesterday, that hopefully then one can become, you know, because Prabhupada said, if you've seen Krishna, someone put the question to Srila Prabhupada, some Pandal, some Indian who's claiming that I've seen Krishna. The Prabhupada's response was, if you've seen him, then serve him. Because that's the real proof. It's not that you just have some zonk out, you know, wow, far out. And end of business, okay. I saw Krishna. You know, there's some people like that. You can even meet them in India. Yeah, 5 years ago I saw Krishna. You know, I had some mystical darshan, so, you know, work completed. I don't have to do anything. I don't have to chant. So it's not like that. And then on the Pradyumna platform, you get the Kalyana Gunas of Virya. That's specifically the male potency, the male power. And Aishwarya. Aishwarya means opulence, of course. So this is why Pradyumna is the original cupid, because this is obviously makes him very, very attractive to the opposite sex. Virya, male potency, plus opulence. I mean, this is what all the mundane women in the world are looking for. You know, some cool guy drives up a big Cadillac and, you know, steps out and he's got a big wad of bills. You know, he also looks real good. He's sharp dressed and real cool. You know, he's like, you know, easily the strongest guy around. You know, no one messes with him because he'll knock the whatever out of him. So women just, whoa. But in terms of creation, this means that he has the potency, the virya, to enter in, you know, to divide himself, Sahasrarishi Purusha, to enter into every universe and bring with him the Aishwarya of his energy, his opulent energy. And from that Virya and Aishwarya then appears Lord Brahma. On the Padma Kosha he goes there. And then Brahma gives bodies, because the subtle jivas are in that stem of the kosha. So Brahma they're just drawn up from inside the stem. And according to, this is why it says the Lord is actually doing everything, according to the subtle body that's there. And not in every, you know, there's a lot of jivas who just exist in their subtle bodies. So Brahma doesn't really have to do anything for them. But for those who require gross bodies, then he's arranging for that. And he's also arranging for the alokas, the proper lokas. So there's Janaloka, Tapaloka. And then as Brahma is simultaneously, as he's placing these jivas where they belong, then Aniruddha is expanding into every one of these jivas' hearts as a super soul. And he's Tejas, his Kalyana Gunas are Tejas and Shakti. So Tejas means the potency of illumination. Super soul is illuminating our senses and our mind with consciousness. And he's also giving us all the shaktis, whatever shaktis that we have. And also what is being illuminated, you know, what is the objects of our senses, that is also shakti. There's the Shakti of the Maya potency, which is also the, you know, this is why Mara is saying it's subtle, because then that is also the Aishwarya, you know, of Praduna, which is coming from the Jnana and the Bala of Sankarsan. And then all of that is enclosed within Vasudev with all six of these potencies. So it just means that Vasudev is the whole, and then each of the three Purushas are, it's like a symphony. You know, the symphony is the whole composition. And then within a symphony, you've got the parts. You know, there's a part for the strings, there's a part for the horn, there's a part for the timpani, the drums, you know. And the conductor is pointing, you know, now you, now you, now you. So all of that together makes a symphony. And so the totality is Vasudev. But he's aloof from it all. He's on the Turiya platform. He's above the modes. And it is explained in the 11th canto that the jiva is also his natural position is on the Turiya platform. So the jiva is always Turiya too. That's why there's always a sense within every living entity of transcendence somehow or other. You know, but it comes out in weird ways. Like, for example, someone commits, what is it called? Mahapap, or there's even, what's the worst kind of papa? What's it called?
Mahapaps, yeah, that means the great sins.
Yeah.
Killing a Brahmin is the worst.
Yeah, anyway,
there's five things. Killing a Brahmin.
Ati something. There's different classifications of sins. I know one of them is Mahapap.
There's
something with a prefix Ati. Anyway, there's different levels. So, you know, there are living entities who they become demoniac. And even though they may have received a Vedic education, like the greatest demons were Brahmins, Hiranyakashipu or Ravana. They were Brahmins and they were the greatest demons. So that means they certainly knew the difference, you know, what is sin, but they weren't afraid to commit them. And that's like it's a weird, perverse kind of, sense of transcendence. Because they're thinking that, anyway, and actually in the tantra that's in the mode of ignorance, sinful activities are, I was explaining about the, so-called yogi who is meditating with stool in one hand and chandan in the other. You know, it's even encouraged in these tamasic tantras. They even encourage this type of thing. You know, that that you shouldn't be, you know, that this is a sign that you have transcended, that you make no difference, you draw no distinction between sinful and pious activities anymore. Now, in Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy, there's the same, you know, there's a, not the same, but there is a kind of parallel teaching, like Srila Prabhupada gives the example of a Yudhisthira. Yudhisthira was Dharmaraj, and so he wanted to do everything according to Dharma. But Krishna wanted him to lie for him. And that he was hesitant to do. And Prabhupada always says, that was why Dharmaraj or Yudhisthira had to see hell. At the end, you see, he was shown hell, and he was even shown that his brothers were in hell. And that's when he said, rather than go to heaven, I'd rather go to hell if my brothers were there. And then the scene was transformed. Actually, your brothers are in heaven, but also your former enemies are there too. You know, so then he went to be with his brothers. So there is this in Vaishnavism, this, it's a kind of parallel teaching, but it makes sense, because only one who's securely situated at Krishna's lotus feet, he does not have to fear sinful reaction. That's the whole point of the Bhagavad Gita. You know, that's the it's called the Charan Shloki by Baladeva Dibhusan and Vishwanath. I think both of them. The Sarvadharman Parichaya Mamikam is the Charan, means the peak. The whole Gita is building up to this peak, which is fear no sinful reaction, just surrender to me. So that is the safe position, the actual safe position. And someone told Srila Prabhupada something about that such and such, you know, some situation, some maybe that day where I forgot the exact circumstance, why. But someone brought up that Rahu is very powerful today or in some upcoming period, and so we should be careful, we shouldn't travel on that day. And Prabhupada just laughed and said, with one kick, Srila Prabhupada can finish 10,000 Rahus. So don't worry about that. So for one who's actually situated at Krishna's lotus feet, there's also no fear of sin. But the tantrics, you know, they take that in a very perverted, they apply it in a very perverted way. That you can do sinful activity deliberately, but because you're whatever, you know, doing some kind of weird yoga practice, you don't have to worry about it. Because there's no difference between sin and papa, it's all karma. And so one should show that he's free of karma by deliberately committing sinful activity. The sahajas do the same thing. They even argue that one should show one's faith in the holy name by deliberately committing sinful activities. Because if you cling to regative principles, that's something other than the holy name. So that means you don't have. So anyway, this is perverted. Oh, I made my contribution. Despite just having my acupuncture.
So interacting with the three modes of prakriti, false ego transforms into one, the dravya shakti from which gross objects evolve. Two, the kriya shakti from which the bodily senses and their creative abilities evolve. And three, the jnana shakti from which material knowledge evolves. Of these, jnana shakti is the best because it manifests as the Brahminical culture and is helpful for spiritual realization. Just as the three shaktis appear out of the transforming effect of ahamkara upon the modes of prakriti, so in the same manner creation continues to expand as the ignorance of the jiva interacting with Maya's modes.
Interact, that should be interacts.
Oh, okay.
Please. Eventual correction.
Okay. Just as the three shaktis appear out of the transforming effect of ahankar upon the modes of prakriti, so in the same manner creation continues to expand as the ignorance of the jiva interacts with Maya's modes. For example, the mind evolves from the effect of false ego upon sattva guna. Along with the mind, 10 demigods make their appearance. These 10 govern the movements of the jnanindriyas, perceptive senses, and karmindriyas, active senses. The karmendriyas and gyanendriyas, intelligence and the life force, prana, are transformations of passion. The elements ether, air, fire, water, and earth appear from the interaction of egoism with the mode of ignorance. Out of this interaction, sound first appears. Sound's gross form is ether, and as sound moves through ether, the sense of hearing, the ear, comes to be. Ether continues to transform into air, the gross form of the tactile sense. The mediation of air and the tactile sensation give rise to the sense of touch, which prana, the life air, spreads all over the surface of the body as ojas, the vital force, which is experienced in the body as the power of sense perception. In this way, fire, form, and vision, water, taste, tongue, and earth, scent, and nose come to be. So it's all that means, these are, I say, yeah, all transformations of the ego in these three. So we see here another overlap, where jnana is put into the third position, right, of the where it would be the prayojana, like that, and jnana shakti, and kriya is put into abhideya, and dravya into sambandha, right, or ignorance, passion, and goodness, right. So depending upon how you're, that's why these are there, because the interactions, how do you say, reverse, right? In any given situation, these effects of the male and female reverse, but they will still carry their inherent nature, but they will have a manifestation of that, right? Like, the man will have control of the situation by his presence, right? The woman will have the control of the situation by her, the emotional aspect, the pleasantness, or the affection. She'll gain control over everyone because of affection. Control is there. So you can't say only men control. Women also control, but how it's done is slightly different. Does that make sense? So in the same way as here is that these will move, right? Does that make sense? So that's why these are studied from these different angles. This is vichar, so that you start to actually see how they all connect and what are the various aspects of it. Because a generalization will be given here. You know, Gyanashak, material knowledge evolves. But we can also take knowledge and put it into Prajumna, which is in Sambandha, or we can take knowledge and put it into the chit potency, which is in Abhideya. Right? But here we're talking goodness, which means you're functioning on the platform of knowledge. Means your ahankar is a transformation of in the mode of goodness. And that knowledge that comes then is illuminating, right? Does that make sense? You're still dealing with the material elements, but it's illuminating. Well, the other one will perform activity. The other one will perform the collection or the creation of articles. You know, dravya, sense objects. Does that make sense? So, you're looking at the same thing, but from another angle. So when you look from the other angle, that's what's prominent. It means why we're discussing this is that this is how you get beyond what's contradiction, right? People will say the Vedas are contradictory, right? Or even in the material sphere, different academics, they do great research and work and come up with different theories. So they seem contradictory. But actually they're studying the same thing from a different angle. And when you study it from a different angle, you look at it differently. You know what I'm saying? Like, let's say we look at we're looking at a car, and we look at the aesthetics of it. Okay, so the car is black, and so then we may say, well, that will work very nice in the black with the chrome, and then the type of glass that's there, and it will look very nice. But let us look at it now, the car from safety. Black won't be so nice because it's one of the hardest to see. At night you can't see the car. All you can see is the headlights. The car itself will not be visible. Right? While canary yellow will be the most safe color, but you may not agree that it's the most aesthetic. You know what I'm saying? So it seems contradictory, but it's the same car. But it just depends upon which is the angle you're taking at present, right? Because it's unlimited. So these are all major ways to approach basically Satchitananda, right? Because Krishna is Satchitananda. So everything in the cosmic creation is made of that because it's Him. So these are various ways of looking at it.
Yeah, you can think of all this in terms of where Krishna says in Gita, everyone follows my path in all respects. Mm. So when we, these terms like dravya, kriya, and jnana, they also crop up in puja, you know, when you teach here in the school.
Yeah.
When we teach the boys puja, we use this terminology.
Yeah.
But this is in terms of devotional service to Krishna. The jnana is the knowledge of who the deity is and, you know, how to approach him and the whole process. Mm-hmm. And the kriya is what you do, the duties, and when you do them and all of that. Mm-hmm. And then the dravya is what is offerable, what should be, what must be offered to the Lord when you do the offering. So this is, you see, this is the path, on any path, you know, just like even that, you know, cow path over there that goes to the temple, even a little path like that has two directions. You can either, you know, come here or go there. So when Krishna says everyone follows my path, it doesn't necessarily mean in one direction that everyone's coming to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so there are many on the path who, you know, they're using jnana, they're doing kriya, and engaging dravya, but for their own sense gratification. And so they're going further and further away from Krishna. They're going to hell. Because they're... What is this called? Viparya smriti in the Bhagavatam. Reversed intelligence. Mm. Intelligence is reversed. It's like a car. You know, four speeds forward and one gear in reverse. They just shove the gear into reverse and they're just driving backwards. You know, they're on the same road, but they're just driving away. You know, backwards. And naturally, at some point, they're going to have a real crack up, you know, because everybody else is going forward. Here comes this crazy guy going backwards.
He's
going to cause an accident.
It's just interesting, in the analogy we've given, is that it's the guy driving backwards that actually makes the trouble for the ones going forward.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
So all of this, you know, all this whole process of the unfolding of creation, you see, because there are let's take a Nitya Parsad of the Lord like Narad Muni. So he's so anxious, he's such a devotee of the Lord. You know, sometimes it's said that Narada Muni is, sometimes you'll come across in some, even in Goswami Shastra, that Narada Muni is a Mishra Bhakta, Dhyana Mishra. What does that mean? It simply means, the Dhyana part simply means, he's very curious to see all the Lord's pastimes. In you know, he's in Goloka as Madhu Mangal. He's there. But he wants to see the Lord in Vaikuntha, and he wants to see the Lord expand, you know, as the Chaturvyuha. He wants to be right there and see everything. You know, and therefore he's just an ocean of knowledge. He's just even Lord Brahma respects Narada Muni, even sometimes Lord Brahma is glorifying Narada Muni as being a better devotee than he is, even though he's his father. Because Brahma is giving everything for everyone. Brahma's preaching, you know, he's giving the Karma Shastra, he's giving the Jnana Shastra for all, he's giving everything for all different classes. He's even giving the Maya, the power of darkness and magic, to the demons. He's even teaching that. That's declared in the what is that? Saptaha Brahmana, I think it's
Satapata.
Satapata Brahmana, yeah. That he gives he gave Maya to the demons when this separation between demons and demigods took place. And so the demons, they needed the place, so he gave them the Bilashvarga, and they needed something to do, so he gave them Maya in the sense of black magic, you know. And the first acharya of that is Maya Dhanaka. So he's giving, but Narada Muni gives only bhakti. He'll go down there to the Bilashvarga, and he'll preach to them about Krishna. So therefore, Brahma sometimes is considering Narada, you know, you're a much better devotee than I am. And that's the sense of him, of his, you know, it's actually a glorification, this jnana aspect of his, you know, of his bhakti, because he wants to help everybody be a devotee. Whatever, he'll go everywhere, anywhere, because he's so curious to see what is the sambandha of everything to Krishna on every level. So he'll preach to Magrari, the hunter, an animal killer, and make him into a devotee. It said he'll, you know, he even accepted the disciple of Cobra.
Yeah, King Cobra. A King Cobra.
Yeah, King Cobra, you know. Accepted him as a disciple. You know, who will take a cobra as a disciple? Narada Muni will, because he clearly understands the connection, the sambandha of you know, even such a living entity as that with Krishna. So that's what it's meant. You can see this positively as Krishna sambandha vijnana, that's a glorification of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. Vijnana means the science of how everything is connected to Krishna, and therefore you have that Vaishnava vision, you know, of Supreme Court judges with tilak, and you know, you can give such goals. You know, we should not be satisfied until every Supreme Court, you know, every High Court judge has tilak, comes into the courtroom with tilak on his forehead, and, you know. Or you can take it the other way. Let's see how deeper and deep, you know, how much deeper and deeper and deeper we can go into Maya. But that's perverted. Okay, Maharaj, you want to make some? There's still maybe half a minute left.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so it means all these things here, it appears very complex, and so much of the time the second canto, you know, like the fifth, which is also a little technical, then tends to be avoided. But these are actually clues on how you think, how you act, how others think and act, why the material world functions the way it does, and then how to take that and use it to advantage, to break it down, to, you know, dissolve it so that one returns to the transcendental consciousness. Right? Does that make sense? So it might be technical, but it's actually very nice elements. I mean, of course, if you can just, you know, always think of Krishna and never forget, fine, but these are all the technicalities of how to never forget. Right? Because this is why you forget, because of this, all these breakdowns.
Yeah, it's actually it's a fact. It's not really that we get in trouble with Krishna, you know, because Krishna he's Samadarshana. He sees every living entity as spirit soul, and, you know, no matter how they're embodied, He says, Mama Ayavangso Jiva Loke Jiva Bhuta Sanatana. You're all my parts and parcels. So in one sense, the sambandha of every jiva with Krishna is always there. But what we get in trouble with is Krishna's Shakti. You know?
Because we're supposed to be in
the Shakti. If we offend, you know, she sees us offending the Lord, and she'll be the first to see that, because you can only approach the Lord through His Shakti. You know, just like you can only see the sunshine, the sun, because the sunshine reaches your eye. So you can only approach Krishna through His Shakti. And so if you're using the Shakti for sense gratification, then she's going to punish you. And that's where all the trouble is.
Okay.
Krishna's actually neutral.
Mm-hmm.
But his Shakti isn't.
Yeah, because we're supposed to be assisting the Shakti, not trying to enjoy it.
Yeah.
Okay, so, and here we'll continue on Thursday.
Jai!
Jai!
There's a couple from Belgium, and I think they want I'd like to put this child on Gurukul. That's what I'm thinking of going to do. I want to speak to you. Is it possible on Thursday from 7 to 8 that you can come here?
7 to 8, no, it's not such a good time.
What time will it be? Or what day?
Saturday is like after the class.
After the class? 9 to 10.
Yeah. But if it's for admitting the kids, then you're supposed to talk to, you know, Madhav Gurney Prabhu's wife.
I suppose that, but they're too small as yet. But he wants to speak about education.
It's general education, yes, but actual practical on putting the kids in, he has to speak to those two. Madhav Gurney Prabhu and his wife, because they deal with the admissions. I don't deal with admissions, but if they want to know, you know, what is Vedic education, what's going on in general, and that kind of thing, that's there. But if they want to know how to get their kid in, then they have to talk to them.
Okay. So, I'll leave the questions up to him, what he wants to ask.
Okay.
On Thursday.
Maharaj, any word from
Brajbihara?
Brajya?
No, just what I had mentioned before. So I have to call him again now, that it should be that the CD he will have gotten.
Sure.
So then, having gotten that, then we'll see what he said. Maybe I'll call him today and see what's up.
Yeah. I just want to know if he has any. If there is some criticism or something, some shortcoming, what it is.
Mm-hmm.